Welcome back to the Star Tribune's Talking Preps podcast. I'm David Levesque, joined in studio by Mark Manny, the coach of Andover Boys Hockey 2022 Class AA champions. How are you, Mark?
I'm great. Thanks for asking, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. But I'm putting you to work here. So you're brought in to help break down the this week's state tournament, which begins Wednesday in Class Single A. Double A starts Thursday. All games are at the Xcel Energy Center. And just thought it would be good to talk to someone who has expertise playing against these teams, who has a notion of who some of the top players are that are left that we should be watching. And so that's with unless there's anything else, we'll just get to it.
No, let's go.
Okay, so we'll start off with Class Single A, and we'll just do it in the order that the quarterfinals are happening. And the first one on Wednesday, we get started with number 2 seed War Road against the New Ulm Eagles. What are you seeing in that matchup?
Well, I think Warroad's got to be the heavy favorite in this. Carson Pilgrim up front, and he's got a lot of help too. Murray Marvin Cordes, two veterans from the first line last year on their team, and they just seem to have a lot of depth year after year. They keep coming at you. New Ulm, maybe not overclassed, but their best win is over Southwest Christian probably,
okay.
and didn't see a lot of the top teams during the regular season. So
sure.
It's going to be an adjustment period for the speed of Warroad.
Yeah, for sure. The second game of the morning session, or the afternoon session, they call it, it's number 3 seed St. Cloud Cathedral and Northfield.
Yeah, that should be pretty interesting. Northfield's got a couple of really good players led by Cam Kaiser, who's got 36 goals. But I think Cathedral was on their way to being the number 1 seed until their goalie got hurt. I think it was around Christmas time, and they lost a string of games when he was out. And good news, bad news with that, if you got a really good goalie who you haven't lost when he started in net.
Right.
But you depend so much on your goalie that you can't win without him very much.
Correct.
So, but up front, they're dynamic with Hirschfeld and Gillespie on their top line. And they're only juniors, but I think Hirschfeld 75 points, Gillespie 60, Dwinell, third guy on there, has 67 points. So I think Northfield's going to have a tough time overcoming them.
See, I've been talking to last night. We talked at the Old Timers Hockey Banquet at DiGidio's, and I was part of a 5-person panel, and we were kind of split. I personally am taking Northfield for the upset here.
Okay.
I think that St. Cloud Cathedral is going to realize that Northfield, you talked about Kaiser, but they have several key players, and I think Northfield has the experience, been here the last couple of years, so I think I like the Raiders. So I mean, we'll see if that's true or not, but that's who I'm going with to win that one.
Yeah, I think one thing about Northfield is you're right, you talked about the experience, but also they're kind of they've been battle tested, fighting that double A line.
Right.
And so their schedule reflects that a little bit. I just, looking at their quality wins, Hibb and Chisholm was a very good team, and they put a 7-1 victory up on them. And they beat, Class AA qualifier John Marshall Century twice. So maybe there is something there.
Well, then we'll switch to the evening session at 6 o'clock prime time. We've got number 1 seed Hermantown and Alexandria.
Yeah, Hermantown, we were used to seeing, right? And they're kind of a wagon year after year. Got a lot of wins, but also a lot of losses this year. I don't recall the record off the top of my head, but they've lost to teams that are in the Class AA state tournament, like White Bear Lake, some other good losses to Shakopee and Maple Grove and Warroad and Benilde, but also some key victories. Hermantown put a 5-1 win on East Grand, who was the top seed in 8A and was upset by Warroad. They beat Centennial, who's in the AA tournament. So I guess maybe the theme there is that Hermantown has played a very, very tough schedule.
Their record is 18-8-2.
Yeah.
Hermantown's.
Okay. Yep.
Well, but you're right, a lot of AA influence on those numbers.
You're not used to seeing Hermantown come into the tournament with 8 losses.
No, there's talk last night. They felt that this might be a little bit of a weaker Hermantown team. Yes, that's weird to say since they are the 1 seed, but they're maybe not the Hermantown of old across the board.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Alexandria has a great resume as well. I'm not I don't know a lot of the teams that they play very well, but they hung right in with Cathedral earlier in the year. They've had a couple of hard goes with St. Cloud, who almost upset their way into the tournament, and Orono they hung right with. So Alexandria will be a formidable opponent for Hermantown right out of the gate.
The you said Orono, that segues very nicely. The nightcap is number 5 seed Orono against number 4 seed Matamidi, the defending single A champions.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great one. Matamidi, too, played a very tough Class AA predominant schedule. And Orono has, really showed well last year at the tournament and had a bunch of their guys back.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to a great nightcap. I think that 4-5 game could go either way.
We'll step out of the tournaments here before 2A, and we'll ask a general question. There's the people that I've talked to said it's 95, maybe even higher, percent chance that the high school league will stop this half measure of a seeding 1-5 and will do 1-8 starting next season, and for the boys and the girls hockey tournaments. I think it's a great idea. What are your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of us have always kind of wondered why it was the way it was. And so seeding 1-8 should, put a lot of the arguments to rest. One of the things that, it bugs me about going through the process is you only get one kick at the can when it comes to seeding. You put down, you rank the other 7 teams, 1-7, and some guys go off of one head-to-head. For instance, like in the Class AA, which we'll get to, Centennial's the 3 based upon a 2-0 win over White Bear Lake early in the year.
Oh, okay.
And White Bear Lake has a win over Grand Rapids. I think that looking at one game out of a 28-game schedule is a little short-sighted, and we should look at the big picture, but not everybody does that.
That's fair. That's fair. Like I said, maybe the 1-8, well, either it'll help or it'll give us something else to complain about. Probably,
right,
probably both.
Yeah.
All right, hang on a second while I get the 2A bracket pulled up. And we start that at 11 o'clock on Thursday at the Xcel Energy Center. We've got number 2, Chanhassen, against unseeded Rochester Century / John Marshall.
Yeah, and I'd be surprised if Chanhassen doesn't become the darling of this tournament, first time ever getting there. Upset undefeated number 1 Minnetonka to do it. But at the same time, Rochester Century, I think, was last there in about 2009 maybe, and John Marshall, when they were separate, I'm not sure when their last appearance was, but also a new team. So we should have a lot of the neutral folks in the stands cheering both ways. Personally, I think Chanhassen's an overwhelming favorite in this. Having played them, they just have 3 lines that don't quit coming. They have the best best goalie in the state, and they've got a strong decor. But primarily, they just skate well, and they can wear you down. So,
Gavin Nieuwenkamp, one of those forwards, probably the best skater in the state.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
Yeah. They, I think with Rochester Century / John Marshall, I think that just getting to this tournament was the big thing that they needed as far as to kind of galvanize the youth players in the Rochester community. It's like, hey, we still are good enough to get there from here. We don't have to worry about taking second to one of the Lakeville schools and whatever. So I think just getting here is big. But, yeah, you're right. I don't think it's going to be a very long stay.
No, probably not.
The second game in that afternoon session is Creighton-Durham Hall against number 3 Centennial, the third seed Centennial.
Yeah, Centennial kind of had an up-and-down year. Started off slow, got going a little bit in the middle of the year, then had a small setback in late January, but really played well the last few games going into the playoffs, and then steamrolled their way over Rogers and
Maple Grove,
and so they earned their way here. Creighton-Durham Hall struggled a lot through most of the season, end up with 10 losses, but they've been really hot down the stretch, and to beat big rival St. Thomas Academy, get to the tournament, gives them a lot of momentum. So I think this game's kind of a pick 'em.
I think that's right. Yeah, it's they both have a lot going for them. Creighton-Durham Hall rather has the experience advantage. I think this is their third straight trip, or at least they've been here a couple times, and Centennial not since 2018. So. Creighton-Durham Hall, for what it's worth, and I do think it's worth something. They know the drill, and that's probably it's going to be something that they have going for them.
Yeah, Creighton got Alex bumped 2 years ago in the first round, and then last year they won their first game. I think beat Maple Grove maybe, and then ended up getting fourth.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's how it went. Yeah, Alex bumped. I like that. Yeah. Turning the name into a verb. I like that.
Yeah.
Evening session, 6 o'clock. Number one Edina, perhaps you've heard of them, against Elk River Zimmerman.
Yeah, that's again a matchup that maybe looks a little like a mismatch on paper, but I think it's going to be very competitive. They know each other. They played just before the holidays. Mm. Elk River really didn't find their legs until after that, like in mid-January, and down the stretch they've been as hot as anybody. Put a big win over us, I know, 4-1, and followed it up with a win over Centennial, and then, you know, had to go to Moorhead to beat them in the playoffs, which is never easy. So I like the way Elk River's playing. They've got a very good goalie and two strong forwards up front. Plus, I think one of the real underrated defensemen in the Metro, Cooper Anderson, has been a real star for them and had a great Elite League before the season. But, you know, Edina's Edina, and they're going to come at you in waves. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to play hard. They've also got good goaltending, and probably at the end they'll prevail. But I think Elk River will give them a battle.
I think so, too. I mean, Northwest Suburban, they get a good schedule. They see the teams that are, you know, are competitive teams, Maple Grove, yourselves. You know, they kind of aw shucks a little bit that Centennial, Rich Menny says, well, we had a text message from one of his players, you know, said after they beat Maple Grove to go to state, he says, not bad for a bunch of nobodies. Is that underselling it? Do they have some talent there that is people should notice? I know that Harper Searles is not a Mr. Hockey candidate. I think he probably could have been. I think I voted for him, but he's not. He didn't get the nod, and I think Nelson is the other guy on that team that you'll look
Nelson,
at his numbers.
Heath
Nelson,
goals. Yeah. Harper Searles has played varsity for them and been a leader on their team since he was a freshman. He's a three-year captain. By all rights, should have been a Mr. Hockey finalist. And you know, one of the things that goes unknown by a lot of the voters is, you know, what a kid brings to the program. And,
sure.
And, you know, when you think of Centennial Hockey in the last 5 or 6 years, you automatically start thinking of Harper Searles because – He's like I say, three-year captain, leading scorer most of the time he's been playing. Battled through an injury a few years ago that limited him, but he's kind of willed some of these other players into stardom. And they had some tough losses early in the year, St. Thomas Academy and Wayzata, who they really battled with. But again, down the stretch, they've been really good. And Easton Cody's really come alive in the nets and has been a very big part of their success.
Yeah, he took control of what was a timeshare in that position, and so you eventually got to pick one, and he clearly was the right pick.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and well, you know, you earn that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had to find a way to get that time, and
right.
And I think I can't remember the game that kind of turned it around, but since he's kind of got the net, he's really taken it and run.
And Edina, you know, like they're just, like I said, just tougher than heck. The one line that gets talked about is Jackson
Nevers.
Nevers, thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of names jumbled in my head.
Yeah, he's probably with Cowan and West.
Cowan and West, yeah. That's as good of a line as you'll see in high school hockey. So that's a great place to start. And then they've got Dexheimer on D. He can rush the puck. He did it in the section final against Wayzata. In fact, Kurt Giles, the Edina coach, we sat there and talked to him, and we asked about that play because he made a shorthanded odd man rush for a goal. And, you know, he said, well, you know, he's a heady player. And so when I heard that, it led me to ask Kurt, you know, after that he answered that question, I said, so does this to say he has the green light from you? And he says, you know better than to ask me that.
Yeah.
I said, what? I said, you said he was a heady player, you know. And he says, I was on the bench yelling, get back, get back, get back, nice shot.
Yeah, kind of like a basketball coach.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I
like Dexheimer a lot. I think he is really good, and he's a University of Massachusetts commit, which is a really strong program, so he's obviously impressed some other people.
Sure. The nightcap, a lot of black and orange coming at you. Grand Rapids, the 5 seed against White Bear Lake, the 4 seed.
Yeah, again, I think this is going to be a battle down to the end. We didn't get to see White Bear Lake this year. We normally scrimmage them, but just before we were going to go on the ice, had that accident where the Holy Angels player got injured.
And, oh.
So we canceled it. I was looking forward to it because I think that Nolan Rode is one of the top players in the state.
And he's outstanding.
Yeah, fun to watch him play. And, you know, Will Distad, who's still yet a junior on D, is, again, a top-end kid. I think he struggled a little in the Elite League. Leo Gabriel has had a phenomenal season, 8 shutouts with the schedule they play, and great stats all around. So they've got a lot going for them. They're going to go up against Grand Rapids, who's down the stretch played a very difficult schedule and is battle-tested that way. And they're going to defend really well. They don't have a lot of depth to their scoring. They rely on their first line and their first pair of defensemen. But they can all defend, they can all skate, they'll play physical, and they've got a great goalie in sophomore Carter Casey. And so this one might come down to special teams and whoever's goalie plays better.
Yeah, Grant Clafton's got the first year, got him going in Grand Rapids again. And I said, you got the two black and orange teams. I said, but there's only one Halloween machine. He said, yeah, there's only one Halloween machine. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because especially in this, it needs to be said, because if White Bear finds a way to lose this game, which they might, it's because it's a flip-em game, kind of 4-5 seed, that'll be 20 times that they didn't get through the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? And I don't know how many of them they've been favored.
It's an unbelievable, because there's no rhyme or reason for, there's some of the, people call it the curse, but it's not based on anything. In fact, I had sat down with one of the gentlemen that played in the 46 tournament, I think was the first time, and I said to him, what did you guys do back then that created this bad juju that lasts all the this? Did somebody trash a hotel room, or what happened? He laughed. He said, no, I don't know, nothing like that. So it's just a really unfavorable set of circumstances, and it'd be good for them if they could. I mean, not that the kids really probably think too much about it, because what do they care? They don't know. But, it'd be nice if they could get that monkey off their back.
For sure. And one of the great things about this game, again, you mentioned Grant Clafton, but Chris Anderson, also a first-year coach in White Bear Lake. And so both those guys were able to get their programs over the hump and get to the state tournament, and good on them.
Yeah, Chris Anderson was a long-time assistant, so he's new. Yeah. In his role, but he's definitely not a new voice.
Right.
But yes, he's got him playing well. He said that the other night against Hill Murray that he kind of went in with this philosophy that, we're going to do the simple things better than anybody. And he said that's playoff hockey in a nutshell. And he said during that game, he said there was times where his guys didn't have the legs for a shift or whatever. He said, but then they could always fall back on the system, and that kept us afloat. And so.
Yeah,
credit to him and those guys, to get that done.
One final note on those two guys. I think they're teammates at St. Cloud State, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Very good. Anything else tournament-wise? Anything we missed? Anybody to pay attention to? Anything, other things you might have taken down for notes or things that we want to get
One of the things that really the tournament that intrigued me was the Class A tournament, where we've always had two or three teams that could win it. Matamidi pops up twice and does it. Otherwise, normally all eyes are on Hermantown and Warroad. But you look at the depth in this year's tournament, Orono certainly could win. You say Northfield. And it's good for hockey when the Class A tournament's competitive. And
correct.
I think this might be the setting up anyway for the deepest Class A field ever. And that's hard to say without a team like East Grand Forks in here.
I know.
Had an unbelievable season. And so that's going to be great. And, even though Edina's the favorite in Class AA, it's a wide-open field. I could see 6 or 7 different teams win, and it wouldn't be a huge surprise.
I don't know if I could go that deep on the AA, to be honest. But, but the point's well made that there is a lot of talented hockey players out there. And one of the things that Marty Miele is behind the Mr. Hockey Award, and he told me we talked during the girls' tournament, and he said, I got all these really great candidates. And he said, I don't know if we need to extend it. And I said, well, no, don't do that. Make it worth something. Keep it to 10. That 10 is fine. Because he said that just the amount of nominations that came in from everywhere. He said just a lot of guys nominated, and he said, I really haven't had – this is a good problem to have, but I haven't had a problem like this in a while. But it reflects that there's a stronger collection of players. I know Minnetonka is kind of the extreme example. They have three Mr. Hockey finalists. Chan Hassan's got their share of you know, depth, but – if you go to Park Cottage Grove, you know, as Jackson Rood, you've got Cooper down at Shakopee, Cooper
Simpson.
Thank you.
He's not a senior though.
No. They're not seniors.
Good
but
players, yeah.
They're people that they thought that you probably wouldn't see anymore, and
right.
And here they are, and they I think Shakopee won the Metro West title, I think, as a team, and then Cottage Grove. The AD from Cottage Grove snapped a picture the other night. They were playing in the semis, I think, at Creighton-Durham Hall. And a place looked like it was sold out. And the AD, the caption was like, I don't think it's ever been this full in this building.
Wow.
And so that's a credit to these kids that stuck around and you know, did their thing, that's which is great, I think.
You mentioned Jackson Rood. There were rumors over the summer he was going to transfer. And also rumors his first name I should know, but I forgot, Wayman at Providence
Louis.
Academy, Louis Wayman.
Yeah.
Rumors they were going to either leave or transfer, and that's so great for hockey. They stayed where
yes.
they were, and they'll remember forever that part of it. If you transfer and have some success, there's that little bit of an empty feeling you left some buddies behind. So I think it's great they stayed put, and they both had great seasons this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you agree with. I think Mike Randolph had said it a few years ago at Duluth East, talking about the 2015 Lakeville North team that ultimately beat him in the state championship game. He said those guys, credit to them for coming back. He said they didn't lose anything by coming back. They you know, it's not a death sentence on their career or anything. You know.
Yeah, and I think almost universally the high school coaches feel that way. I'm sure there's a few who hope a kid leaves so that they have a better chance of beating that team, but but most of us all want to see those kids stay, and I think in the future, you know, other kids may stay because of it. You can go back as far as you want, but like the one year when Riley Tufte came back when he could have left, and Mattson up at Grand Rapids and Middlestadt, they were all kind of in that same little year group, and they all came back, and I think it, you know, it's helped others make their decision easier.
For sure. Will you be involved in the tournament in any way?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wasn't sure if you would come down or maybe just say, oh, we're not in it, I'm not coming down.
No, I'll probably come down.
Sure.
But nothing going on down there. I'd like to watch a few games on my couch. I find that relaxing, but I'm sure I'll get down there Friday night or something, and just cheer. You know, most of these coaches are my buddies, and
sure.
And they're all great guys. So I'll be there rooting for both teams in each game.
That said, Double A in particular, is there a favorite you think is going to win this thing?
Well, you know, the teams in my conference, Elk River and Chanhassen, plus, you know, I coach in the Elite League with Grant Clafton. He's a close friend.
Centennial, I meant. That's okay.
Centennial and Elk River in our conference, and then Grand Rapids in our section, but I think, you know, kind of the Cinderella story would be Chanhassen. And I think they've got a fun team, and they're going to be a tough out for me. I think it'd be them and Edina maybe in the final.
Sure. Very good. He's Mark Manny, Coach Vandover, boys hockey. Very much a pleasure to have you here on Talking Preps and breaking down this week's tournament. So nothing better. No time of year.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Yep.